Welcome to Compass with Heladi Mishelia, finding direction for your life.
So grace, bless God and thank Him for the opportunity to continue in these 40 days of impact. I hope you have been following. I hope you have been picking something, you've been learning something. We are looking at 40 lessons, you know, that is key, that is critical for an impactful life, you know. An impactful life is not the life that has a lot of money. An impactful life is not necessarily the life that has a lot of power. You see, impact is not measured just by what you have done in the lives of people. That is a good measurement, but it's not the only measurement. Real impact is what you have done based on the instructions of heaven. Because anything you do in this life will perish. The Bible says this life, the whole earth and everything in it, the Bible says it will perish. It will be burned with fire. But somebody said only what we do for God lasts forever. So you have to understand this, that whatever you are doing, everything you are doing, marriage, everything ends on this earth. But whatever you do in pursuit of purpose, whatever you do in pursuit of divine instruction, divine mandate, it lasts forever. And so therefore, we are taking the time to look at how to live a life of impact in this new year. And I am teaching 40 lessons. Some of the information is brought from the book, The Purpose Driven Life. If you have that book, it's going to be a good resource as you follow me. It's just short teachings every morning that you can carry with you, or anytime you're able to listen to it through our podcast, that you're able to carry with you through the day. And it will be a source of motivation. It will be a source of blessing for you as you do that. So we are looking at lesson number 7 in this particular broadcast today. We're looking at lesson number 7. And we are looking at the reason behind everything. The reason behind everything. Why are you doing what you're doing? Yeah, you see, earlier today I was listening to something on the news, and I heard a man who was talking and saying, he was saying that we need a new set of politicians in our country and all of that, and he was saying what the country needs to be looking at, and I agree with him 100%. I agree with him 100% on the things that he was talking about. You know, he was saying that our politicians need to change, you know, what the some things that they are basing their judgments on. For instance, he was saying in the next 10 years, our population will increase by 100 million. We are presently about 200 million. He said in the next 10 years, our population is going to increase by maybe another 100 million. We're going to be about 300 million people. And he said, look, right now, there's already a struggle for resources. We have too many people who are poor, too many people who can't afford to eat, too many people who are struggling, too many people who don't get good health care, too many people who don't get, you know, a proper standard education for the season that we're in. There are too many of that. He said, but what are our politicians doing? Our politicians are talking about the next election. They are not worried about it. They're not saying, what are we going to do? They're not looking for leaders who can bring this kind of changes. And this is what I'm saying. I'm saying even as believers, even as people, we are not looking at critical matters. We're just looking for breakthrough here. All of that is good. But, you know, there are certain things that have to be in place. If those things are not in place, it's just like a person who has, you know, I used to tell people that paying your rent is not an emergency, or giving birth to a child is not an emergency. When your rent becomes an emergency, or your wife is pregnant for 9 months and now she's in the hospital and you don't have money to go and pay, something is wrong. There's something critically wrong in your planning and your thinking system. Because what were you doing? The moment that woman got pregnant, you know, in 9 months that baby is coming out. Anytime from the 7th, 6th month, you should be planning and saying, and if anything happens, if the woman gives birth prematurely, I should be ready. If whatever. I mean, if you have a rent, it's a cycle of 12 months. You know that. Anytime from, you know, the 8th month or the 9th month, if you have not been ready throughout the year, you should start getting ready. So what I'm saying is that there are critical matters about being a Christian. There are critical matters. And most of the time, believers do not put their minds to those critical matters. And when they do not put their minds to those critical matters. They go for some peripheral things, or they go for things that are not foundational. They've not built the foundation. They now build this house that has no foundation. And what happens is that this house crumbles on them. So, what we are looking at in the 40 days of impact is the critical things. They may not look very interesting, but if you put those things in place, if you have those things in place, you know, if you have those things in place, when you begin to build your house is going to stand because a strong foundation has been built for it. Is that okay? And so those are the lessons. So today we're looking, the topic for today is the reason for everything, or the reason behind everything. Everything you're doing, what's the reason behind it? Have you ever taken time to think, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 16 verse 4, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord has made everything for his own purpose. You, as you are, as a human being, you are made for God's purpose. Oh, this is so powerful if you understand it. Paul talked about this. He said, you have been purchased with a price. He said, the life you now have is not your life. It does not belong to you. He said, serve God with your body. Paul writes in Romans, he said, my brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. In other words, based on the mercies of God that you have seen, based on how God has been good to you, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is your reasonable form of worship. In other words, if you are not doing that, what you are giving is an unreasonable act of worship. The reason for everything. What's your reason for what you do? What's the reason for your existence? What's the reason? The ultimate goal of the universe is to show the glory of God. You know, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. And what will be the product of what they see? That they may glorify your Father. I want to ask you a question. Are you concerned about the glory of God in your life? Do you want people to see the glory of God in your life? Do you want people to see you and say, no, this is somebody who has known God. No, this is somebody who has walked with God. No, this. You know, that was the whole testimony about the life of Enoch. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God and he was no more, for God took him. That means that every time people talked about Enoch, when they made reference to him, they would say, oh, that man that knew God. That man that walked with God. Oh, that man that was what people said about him. When Enoch was walking in town, when people talked about him, when people spoke about him, when people, you know, were gossiping about Enoch, the only gossip they had was that, oh, this man walked with God. You know, there are people who, when people talk about you, what do people say about you? What is the thing that people say about you that brings glory to God? When people see you, they say, look at this man. They say, look, this man you are seeing. Don't just do as if you didn't see him. Do as if you didn't see him. If he comes now, he's going to ask for money and he does not pay. And once you give him money, he does not pay debts. You just act as if you're not. What are people talking about you? And the reason why you have become, that's the description of you, is because you are not living a life to bring glory to God. What is the glory of God? It is who God is. It is the essence of his nature, the weight of his importance, the radiance of his splendor, the demonstration of his power, and the atmosphere of his presence. God's glory is the expression of his goodness and all his other intrinsic eternal qualities. Where is the glory of God? The glory of God is everywhere, and you are the primary carrier of the glory of God. You are the primary carrier of the glory of God. God wants you to carry his glory. When you show love to other people, you radiate the glory of God. You radiate the glory of God. There was a time that people were teaching on the issue of prosperity, and they took just a portion of the glory of God and decided that was all. They said that if you have money, they were teaching the Bible based on the principle of first mention. And the first time the word glory was mentioned was when Jacob left the house of Laban and was very rich. And so the children of Laban said, Jacob has taken our father's glory. And so therefore, when you hear glory, it means riches. No, but see, when you take something out of context and you teach it, you go into error. You see, that is just a portion. Of course, financial prosperity is a form of glory. After all, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God does not shy away from the issues of money, but that's just a portion of God's glory. Living a life of purity is showing the glory of God, because God is holy. So when you live a life of purity, you show a portion of the glory of God. The glory of God is very dynamic. The glory of God has different dimensions. So therefore, it's not just one thing that you do to show the glory of God. But the reason for everything is for God and to show the glory of God. This year that you're in, will your life show the glory of God? Will you emit the glory of God in the way that you talk? Will people glorify God? He has made all things for his pleasure. And all things are made for his pleasure. The joy, the reason for everything is God. The reason for everything, even when you are getting married, is actually not because of you. Even when you are getting a job, you see, that's the reason why some people can't give to God. Because they thought that the job they are getting, so that they can get money, build a house, buy a car, buy clothes, they think that the reason for everything they do is themselves. You think you are the center of the universe. And that is why you have become your life has become target for Satan. So when Satan wants to destroy your life, I mean, look at what happened to Job. Satan attacked his family, attacked his health, attacked his finances, attacked his investment. So, if the Bible says, but in all things, Job did not sin against God. That means Job did not put his life in distance around. There are many of us that the reason why, if Satan wants to just destroy our life, all he needs is just to attack the things around us. Because our heart is not in God. Our heart are in the things around us. In fact, our serving God is to sustain or to acquire the things that are hanging around us. The reason why we're into certain things is not about God. I love the countryside. I love the village area. One, you can get a lot of land cheaply, and you can build a house as big as you want. I love nature. So whenever I travel, sometimes I tell myself, if not because God called me to stay in the city, I will move my life, you know, to the countryside. You know, I love nature. I love the quiet life. You know, I still love how people are still, you know, in the basic stages of life, where you go out in the morning and greet your neighbor, where you can sit in front of your house the whole day and chat with friends. I just love that kind of life. But the love of God, the call of God upon my life constrains me. If I just wanted to do what I want to do, maybe I will not live in the city. You see, you have to understand, there's a reason behind everything, and the reason behind everything is God. This year, let the reason for what you are doing, let the reason for living your life be that there's a big God behind you. There's a God that you want to live your life in such a way that he is glorified. So even when God brings prosperity into your life, it is so that his name will be glorified. And let that just be the reason. Live your life. Let the reason for everything be God. When you wake up early in the morning, let the reason for your waking up be God. Let it be that there's an agenda that God needs me to fulfill. It can even be in the life of your children. When you take your children to school, let it be that, no, there's something God wants to use the life of these children for, and they require an education. So I'm standing up to take them to school, not because I want my children to grow up, be the first in class, be the best in society, so that people will be praising me. No. Let the reason be that there's something that God must use their life for. I pray that this reality will come into your heart. I pray that this reality will come into your spirit. I pray that you will understand this thing. The moment you understand this thing, God will take over everything that has to do with your life. Because everything you are doing is for Him. God will become the insurance company of your destiny. That is how God comes into everything you are doing. When God knows that you are living for Him. When the reason for everything is Him. Amen. We need to stop here today. It's been great sharing the word of God with you. Today is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.